There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, we're in situ up here on the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. Nice breeze around the venue at the moment as well. So it's the best place to come on down and watch your live sport throughout this Saturday afternoon into evening. And sport aplenty to be delivered as well. There's an early kickoff in the Premier League. That's going to be one of our main focuses in this first hour of the show. Stoke taking on Palace, and that is a crucial game for Stoke as they battle for survival in the Premier League. Talking of survival, that's going to be the main focus of the Premier League action today. Leicester take on West Ham later on. West Brom could be relegated today if results go against them. They're taking on Tottenham. Bournemouth against Swansea as well. Both teams with plenty to do. And Everton take on struggling Southampton. That's your late game at 8:30 p.m. Also live here on Dubai I-103.8. It's not just about the football though. There is plenty else going on. Tennis, Prague Open in the women's. Estoril Open in the men's. In cricket, Justin Langer has been appointed Australia. He's going to change things for Australian cricket. We'll get thoughts on that one. Plus, Chennai take on the challengers, Sunrisers against Delhi and Northants against Pakistan in the world of cricket. Rugby fans, we've got Super Rugby for you whilst we're on air. Stormers against the Bulls. It's the last weekend in the Aviva Premiership and the Top 14, so all those games kicking off at 6 o'clock this evening, local time here in the UAE, plus quarterfinals of the Guinness Pro 14. So lots to get our head around there. Locally, we'll talk about the Asian Cup draw, which took place here in the UAE over the last 24 hours. And boxing fans, another big fight to look forward to a little later on. This one's over in London. It's the repeat or revenge, Bellew against Hay 2. So lots to get look forward to. As always, if you'd like to have your say, you can text us now on 4001. You can also stay in touch on Twitter at Dubai iSport or follow any of the panellists you'll be introduced to in just a few moments' time. But the best bet is to get yourself down here to Barasti where the game is always on.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Text to us on 4001. You can tweet at Dubai Eye Sport, or get yourself down here to Barasti Beach and be part of the activities and the excitement. Two panellists for you who are centre to those activities. They're with us over the next 3 hours, talking all things sport. It is a warm welcome to Ross Crist, who's up here back on the top deck down at Barasti after having been to the boxing last night. Enjoy it.
Oh my goodness, what a great time. White Collar Boxing 19 put out there on the Habitor Grand. A great night out. It's my first night being part of the commentary team, and boy, we saw some real good belters of a fight. It started out slow. The first two fights weren't the best things we've seen, but then towards the end of the night, we saw some haymakers being thrown. We also saw some young boxers coming up, so it was really good to see some, you know, the grassroots boxing movement out here in the UAE. So Povey did a good job putting that one together. If you are listening at home, you've done the Dubai brunches, you've done the safari, you've done the Burj Khalifa, you've done the water parks. If you haven't done White Collar Boxing, get involved. It's something you should put on your list here in Dubai. It's definitely something you can take your friends to when they're coming over and visiting. I think the next one's out there in November. You can still get tickets for that. So it's definitely, it was really remarkable, Tom. Good night.
It was good to have you on board as part of the ringside commentary team alongside the man who is alongside you as well at the moment. Chris McCarty was back for more. Again, it's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It is a fantastic event, and I probably should apologise to listeners straight off the bat if my throat and my voice doesn't sound quite right, because I was shouting and screaming an awful lot last night across the 8 bouts. And just to echo what Ross said, another great night, fantastic talents out there. It is a night that brings out the good and the great of the local scene as well. We had Mike Phillips, of course, Welsh rugby great. He was down there, he enjoyed himself, and we certainly did so too. So a massive congratulations to each and every one of the winners and the losers on the night. It was a great effort to get into that ring first and foremost, and it was a fantastic evening.
Boxing aplenty. In fact, we're going to talk boxing here on the show a little later on as well. Bellew against Hay. We will have the thoughts of the boys in that one. That's got Fruity in the press conference. Is it all for the cameras, or is there real dislike amongst those fighters? We'll get details in just a few moments. I need to mark the card, though, first, because let's find out what's coming up over the next 3 hours. Football-wise, Chris McCarty, we've got Dundee against Hamilton up in Scotland, Girona against Eibar over in Spain.
Two belters.
And, of course, a belter down at relegation threatened Stoke. So Permutations-wise, Premier League, I think West Brom can go down today, can't
they? Yeah,
they
can. They're on 28 points, so they've only got two matches remaining, do West Brom. They will take on Tottenham at the Hawthorns a little later. They need a victory. That's simply put for Darren Moore's men. That is the job for him and his men, is to go out there and just get the 3 points this afternoon. That is a little later. The early kickoff is the side currently occupying 19th in the Premier League table. It is Stoke City. They are taking on a Crystal Palace side who have, well, stayed in the division under Roy Hodgson. He has said this week he is going absolutely nowhere, is the veteran manager. They're currently sitting 12th on 38 points, so they are remaining in the division for next season. A wonderful achievement, and given the strength and depth of that squad, you'd expect Crystal Palace, in all honesty, Tom, to be battling in the top half of the tables. For Stoke today at the Bet365 Stadium, it's quite clear Paul Lambert and his men, they need 3 points, Tom. They've got Swansea away on the final day of the season, which is next weekend, incidentally. They need 6 points from their final two games, and again, Paul Lambert will be telling his men, what are we, 25 minutes out from kickoff? Go out there, boys, and defend, scrap, attack as if your life depended on it, because we need the 3 points at the end of the 90 minutes this afternoon.
We've got plenty of football for you. As I mentioned, there's cricket, there's rugby, there's local sport. In terms of American sport, we'll be heading those up a little later on in the show. What you got for us, Rosto?
Yeah, a lot going on in my neck of the woods. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat from last night. We have the NBA playoffs in full swing. We also have a little matter of the 144th running of the Kentucky Derby, so we'll be looking at some of those horses that are in the mix. We have the Wells Fargo Tiger in the mix for that one. And of course, we have Lord Stanley Cup's playoffs in full swing right now. My Pittsburgh Penguins trying to three-peat. And gentlemen, a couple years ago, we had Luis Suarez biting opponents. This year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, we have Bradley Michaud licking his opponents' faces. Is he going too far by licking his opponents' faces? I'll put that question to you. I'll put that question to you, Tom, you, Chris, and Mr. Colby Armstrong. Colby Armstrong, former Pittsburgh Penguin, Atlanta Thrashers, Toronto Maple Leafs, and Montreal Canadiens will be joining us on the line a little bit later in the show today. And also, in baseball, we had a no-hitter last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers, so we'll look back on that.
Good stuff. Looking forward to all that. Just want to hit up a few of these stories of the week. And it's been a week that's been dominated by, well, football pretty much every night throughout the last week. We've had something to talk about. Let's cast our minds back to Tuesday. Seems like only yesterday, but Tuesday saw that cracking game. I've enjoyed the Champions League semi-finals. There have been two great games over two legs as well. Why? Teams that just wanted to win. Yeah. You know, there was no sort of chess match going on, was there?
No, and that's exactly what we said on Sports Tonight earlier this week as well, Tom. It's been two good attacking matches. The defences are not going to be winning any prizes. The defending has been atrocious at times, but that's what we want. We want entertainment, and we saw that. Four goals on that Tuesday evening, six on the Wednesday evening. This is a semi-final of a UEFA Champions League, and there'll maybe be a few old-school, I guess, football fans out there shaking their heads that they want to see the tactical chess matches. They want to see defences that are able to defend. I'm on the other side that I want to see attacking football. I want to see goals. It is about entertainment, and over the two games, a fantastic advert, I think, for the UEFA Champions League. And despite the fact that my allegiances are with Manchester United, the best two teams in Europe from an attacking standpoint, Real Madrid and Liverpool, the final's got goals written all over it. It could be a thriller. It could go down in the ages as one of the greats. Let's hope I'm not overbilling it, but there will be goals. Both teams will score. Make no mistake about it, May 26th over in Kiev, it is Madrid against Liverpool.
But Real Madrid, one of those teams that have been there, done that on more than one occasion, Ross, Chris. But this Real Madrid team, they've had a few problems. It seems ridiculous that we're saying, but they talk about them having problems domestically in La Liga this year. But in terms of Real Madrid, and putting aside the sort of reputation that they've got and things like that, is this the best opportunity Liverpool have had to play a team, a brand like Real Madrid?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Real Madrid, about 3 months ago on this show, we were thinking about Zinedine Zidane. Is he going to get sacked? There's some talk of that, and now he's got his team in the Champions League final going against Liverpool squad, but maybe they are a little bit vulnerable. Liverpool can show that they can score some goals. Madrid, I mean, they've been there, they've done that. To be the best, you have to beat the best, and right now Madrid is on the top of the mountain right now, so Liverpool's looking up at them. But I think this is going to be more of an even matchup than a lot of people give it credit for, like you were saying there, Tommy. One man who I know will be rooting for the Reds, we're rooting for Liverpool, I read about this today, is their minority owner, LeBron James. LeBron James owns 2% of Liverpool, bought it for $6 million 4 years ago. His investment, now that they've made it to the Champions League final and they're going to get $100 million from this game, his investment's gone up to $37 million.
Wow.
smart man, smart businessman. And just to add to what Ross has said there, I think it will be a real... It'll be a test for Real, because you look at Liverpool and what is it, 40 goals across the Champions League this season. Their front three, Firmino, Salah and of course Mane, 29 goals. That is the most of any trio in Champions League history. 29 goals those three individuals have got. And I appreciate it was a bit of an off night for them over in the Stadio Olimpico on Wednesday evening. Jurgen Klopp's job over the course of the next 3 weeks, of course 3 weeks today will be the Champions League final, is to convince those players to go out and play with the abandonment with which they've done earlier on in this campaign. We saw them blow Manchester City away. We saw them lead Roma 5-0 in the semi-final at Anfield of the UEFA Champions League. Of course, there will be those out there pointing out, well, it's not at Anfield, Chris. This is in a neutral venue. He's got to convince those players that this is their time, that it's their destiny. And if he can do that, I've said it and I'll say it again, I think Liverpool, I think they can overcome the odds. Real Madrid will start as the favourites. Of course, they will. They've won the last two Champions Leagues. They've won 12 in total. But I think the name is on the trophy, and I think it will be Liverpool Football Club.
It's going to be a fascinating match-up, and of course we'll have all details of where best to watch it here in the UAE with Chris, Robin, the rest of the sports team in the weeks to come as well. One little scenario, though. We talked about Real Madrid. Been there, done that. They know the big occasion. They're a team built around the big occasion as well. Liverpool not so. What, first British team into major tournament, European tournament since 2012 or thereabouts?
Chelsea, wasn't it?
Chelsea 2012. You know, this Liverpool haven't gone this far since 2005, obviously.
2007. You forget they lost. Yeah. AC Milan, Everton. Yeah. Istanbul, the miracle of Istanbul 2005. In Athens, AC Milan beat them in 2007.
Exactly that.
Real Madrid have never lost. I think, let's give you some stats here. Real Madrid have never lost a UEFA Champions League final.
So that's, I think that was my question, is that they are sort of short-wired for the big occasion, Liverpool
absolutely.
Or not?
There's a lot of question marks, I guess, Tom. And again, I said this, football is not what won on paper. But if you were to jot down the pros and cons, you would heavily favour Real Madrid. They've got the experienced players. They've got some of the world's best. Cristiano Ronaldo, for goodness sake, is one of, if not the best, in the world. They've been over the course before. They know how to get the job done. Liverpool, on the other hand, there's a lot of question marks. And I felt in the Stadio Olimpico on Wednesday night, one or two of their younger players, the occasion got to them. Trent Alexander-Arnold, the young 19-year-old right-back, the occasion for me got to him a little bit. One or two players, Henderson, Milner in the middle of the park. And yes, okay, they're defending a 5-2 lead, so it's very difficult to know how to play a game like that mentally. But that will be the big question marks. There are a number of question marks, Tom, and I'm appreciating that I'm saying if there's a lot of ifs and buts. But if Liverpool come out, if Liverpool go at Real Madrid and they're 150-mile-an-hour pace, get at them early, I think they can have a lot of joy because, and I can't believe I'm saying this again, despite the fact that they're two-time Champions League reigning champions, Real Madrid, defensively, they do not convince me. I believe they can be gotten at, and I think Liverpool have the tools to do it.
Chris, do you buy into the theory that maybe these teams should be resting some of their players before the big game? We have El Clásico coming up tonight.
Yeah. This weekend. Tomorrow, I think it is. Sunday evening.
I think...
Or is it tonight?
I think it's tonight. 10:45 tonight, El Clásico. To take away, this El Clásico really doesn't have much behind it. I mean, the league's all done and dusted right here.
I'm sure Zinedine Zidane will want Real to win it because Barcelona, they will not want Barcelona from going the entire season unbeaten, Ross. So, yeah, there's a little bit of, not pressure on Zizou to put out a big team, but I tell you, it's a very good question, and it's a million-dollar question.
And then on the Liverpool side, do you see Salah getting the start for the remaining Premier League games? Because they are still battling for top four.
Top four, exactly that. They've got Chelsea as well, haven't they? Tomorrow, I think, that match is as well. It's the $6 million question. What do you do? Do you keep playing your players in the hope that they keep in the rhythm that they're in, or do you wrap them up in cotton wool and hope that they can then get into the rhythm in the final? I always go back. You can't plan for injuries. You simply can't. I always go back to, you know, Manchester United 1999. The games came thick and fast, and speaking to the players that were part of that treble winning team, you just want to play. It's recuperation. It's get back out there and do your job. So I'm sure Klopp and I'm sure Zinedine Zidane, they'll be cute with it, but they'll still play their big name players because it's vital that they are in form when it comes to that Saturday evening.
It comes down to the individual as well, doesn't it? And I think, and I don't know him personally, but I think from what I see of Mo Salah, he's one of those players that puts his hands up, says, play me, boss. You know, he wants to be playing as much football. He's got goals in mind, and when he's in that sort of form, give him as much match time as he can.
Absolutely. Players want to play, don't they? They're enthused by it. They don't want training. you know, training, as good as it is and as important it is, it's all about the Saturday or the Wednesday or the Tuesday evening, whenever you're playing. So for those big players, yes. I think the issue for Liverpool will be their three midfield players, Jordan Henderson, the captain, James Milner, and Jorginho Wijnaldum. The reason I say that is Emery Chan is injured, Adam Lallana is injured, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is injured. So he doesn't have any other options in there, does Jurgen Klopp. So you may see one or two younger players come in there, because it is vital. If they lose one of those three, and I can't quite believe I'm saying this, given the fact it's Mane, Salah, and of course Firmino, but it's in that midfield that the game will be won and lost, and he needs those three fit.
Quick word before we go to break on James Milner there. Any chance Gareth Southgate might be getting on to James Milner, asking him to reconsider his international retirement?
I'm sure that call, if it's not been had, it may well be had. 9 assists in the Champions League. No player has ever had more than 9 assists in a Champions League campaign for boring James Milner, as is the Twitter handle goes out there. There's a Paraday account that's just brilliant. You should follow it, by the way. But fine player. He's come on leaps and bounds again under Jurgen Klopp. He's just a consummate professional, as James Milner. We know he likes his golf, but he gets his head down and he works hard on the training ground. I think Gareth would look at it. I've been told, and James has come out to say that he's not keen. He has taken the decision that his international career is over. But Gareth Southgate, it will be down to him whether he thinks that it is worth picking up the phone and giving James Milner a call. And if he does, and Milner does come into it, he's a good player for that England squad to have over in Russia this summer.
Listen to The Grill. We are broadcasting live from Barasti, where the landscape is literally changing in front of our eyes down here. We come here every Saturday. And what with the building work that's going on down here, Dubai Harbour being created at the moment, quite extraordinary structures going into place. Anyway, enough of that. We'll be back with the sport in just a few moments' time. Keep locked here on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Four games in Spanish La Liga today. Atletico Bilbao take on Real Betis at 6:15 local time here a little later on. Celta Vigo at home to Deportivo La Coruña at 8:30 this evening. And then the late one at 10:45 is Villarreal against Valencia. There is a goal in Spanish La Liga now. Eibar have taken a first-half lead against Girona in the early kickoff down there. So that one's underway. We're getting ready for our early kickoff in the Premier League. Stoke taking on Crystal Palace. Any team news in yet, as yet, Mr. Chris McCarthy?
Yeah, I'm still trying to work out the Stoke starting 11 in terms of formation-wise. I'll read out the men that Paul Lambert has picked today, and of course Stoke needing the 3 points if they are to keep their hopes of staying in the division alive. Jack Butland, who's been linked with Liverpool, Wolves, amongst others, Arsenal too. He starts in goals, no surprise there. I think, Tom, it will be a back three. Glenn Johnson, Ryan Shawcross and Kurt Zouma. The two wing-backs, Eric Peters on the left-hand side. It'll be Moritz Bauer on the right-hand side. Midfield two, Joe Allen and Ndii, who I think has been a great signing since coming in from Turkish football in January. Then Jerdan Shaqiri will be given the freedom to go and make things happen in the final third for Stoke. And it is Mami Biram Diouf being partnered with Peter Crouch. So an attacking lineup from Paul Lambert. He started the two strikers. He needs goals today. And he clearly feels that going with a front two is the best way forward. For Crystal Palace, the usual for them. Hennessy in goals. Ward, Tomkins, Sacco and Van Olt. Ruben Loftus-Cheek as well has been giving a start alongside Kabai and James McArthur. And once again as well, he's gone with a mobile front two. Andros Townsend and Wilfred Zaha. No Christian Benteke. He's once again left on the bench as the former Liverpool striker. Roy Hodgson, he's caught on with this now. They were brilliant in their 5-0 dismantling of Leicester last weekend. Zaha and Townsend, quick, tricky, and they'll look to exploit any weaknesses in that Stoke back line. So we are, 10 minutes out at the Bet365 Stadium. It is Stoke against Crystal Palace.
Stoke pretty much have to win today. Yeah. If they draw, then there is a possibility.
Oh, we're getting into permutation.
But if they lose, they're down.
Yes, essentially. I mean, I'm looking at it here. So Stoke are currently on 30 points. Now, they go to Swansea in the final day of the season. Swansea currently on 33 points. So they could lose today, could Stoke, and they could get on to 33 points. But it all gets a little convoluted here. Stoke are on minus 33 goal difference. Swansea are on minus 25. So they need a goal swing there. Not only that, they would require Southampton not to pick up any more points, and that would be the case. So yes, they could lose today, but then you're asking an awful lot. The destiny's out with your hands. All Stoke need to concentrate on, and I'm sure it's the message that Paul Lambert has told his players. Win today, win next weekend, and we'll give ourselves a chance.
Let's have a listen from Paul Lambert, who is not backing away from the importance of this game.
It's a must win, I think. I don't think there's any other way to describe it, and I don't think I can describe it any other way than we must win. We're going to need the support behind it. for every decision that goes. We need them behind us. It's amazing what support does for you. It can make you run a bit quicker, run a bit harder. And if we have that, then we've got a chance. Also, we're up against a good side, but we're also playing well ourselves.
Those are the thoughts of Paul Lambert, the Stoke manager. Important game for him. And what about Roy Hodgson? Well, Big Roy has come into Crystal Palace. He's turned them around and turned their form around. He's also reiterated the fact that despite the fact they are safe in the Premier League for next year, that's not going to slow them down at all. They will still compete at the highest level in this game.
A group of players here against all the odds really have done a fantastic job in getting us to where we are. And I've got every faith in them really to make certain they don't show any signs of nonchalance or show any signs of having already done the job, because these last two matches are important for everybody, really not least of all for the integrity of the league, because we're playing certainly one team that still have big hopes of survival themselves.
Good on Roy, eh? You know, he comes in for a bit of stick, doesn't he? We were talking about boring James Milner there, and Roy Hodgson comes in for a bit of stick and has done in the past and things like that. But you can't deny the results that he's got, and with that team and that squad.
Absolutely not, and credit must go to Roy Hodgson. I know there was one or two that questioned his appointment when Crystal Palace turned to him. Obviously, his disappointing, I think, or frustrating spell as England manager. He had that little ill-fated spell as Liverpool boss, but... And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Crystal Palace here. He's found his level. You got to remember the success he had with Fulham. He took Fulham to the Europa League final, where they lost out to Atletico Madrid. When was that? Back in 2011. Could have actually been a little earlier than that. The years passed me by, Tom. But he got them to a Europa League final, for goodness sake. And what a job he did at that football club. The great escape with Fulham, Danny Murphy scoring at the Etihad Stadium against Manchester City and then led them up. So I think from Roy's perspective, from Crystal Palace perspective, it's a match made in heaven. He's found his level at a club, and he's a good manager. You don't become Liverpool manager, England manager, travel the world that he's done, Inter Milan manager as well, if you've not got something about you. So well done, Roy. Well done to Palace. I'm a big fan of them. I like Palace in the Premier League. It goes back to my youth and the days that Palace were a Premier League club. So nice to see them still in the Premier League, and looking forward to them adding one or two players and kicking on again next season.
Chris McCarty, Christian Benteke, their big signing, sitting on the bench. I think they paid $30 million for him this offseason. You know how many goals he's sitting with right now?
I think, what is it, two?
I think he has two goals. Do you see him for the Eagles next year?
It's a good question. Do I see Christian Benteke at Palace? I do, Ross, because... Well, who's going to come in and pay the big bucks for him? Because if his agent is knocking on the door or picking up phone calls and saying, listen, Christian's not that happy at Selhurst Park, okay. It's going to cost you 20-odd million, okay. How many goals did he get last season? Yeah, he got two, but he's a good player. And listen, I am a fan of Benteke, and I think, you know, confidence is a big thing. He will go to the World Cup with Belgium, and you never know. He could clamber off the bench. We could be talking about Christian Benteke scoring the winner in a quarter-final, a semi-final, even a final. Who knows? Belgium heavily tipped to do well in this FIFA World Cup. So I think he'll still be a Palace player next season. Let's hope we see the best of him, because I'm a fan of Christian Benteke. Did great at Genk, did great at Aston Villa. Didn't quite work out for him at Liverpool. But I do believe he's got the qualities in the Premier League. And if Palace do not want him and do look to sell him on, then the worry is who would come in and pay the big bucks for him.
What I love is that man alongside me here, Ross Chris, just keeps surprising me. And there we were last night in the midst of a white-collar fight night thing, and he is regaling me with stories of the fact that when he was at college in the United States, he used to get up at the crack of dawn to watch Crystal Palace, of all teams.
Just because they were called the Eagles, Ross, right?
No. Taking me, but it's because someone and I live with was from London. So we were waking up at all odd times of the day. And, oh, God, it's just going to sound
They were
like
the tough times as well.
Yeah, oh, golly, man. Golly. They're throwing out some 11 players that are probably all trash men right now. I don't know what. I don't know that they're still even in the game of soccer. But, yeah, it was fun. And then I switched allegiances after I ended up throwing my shoe at the television for 5 years straight. So I had to move on to bigger and better things with Manchester United.
I just want to deal with a couple of the other stories of the week in football. Obviously, we've moved our way up to Wednesday, where we found out who would be playing who in the Champions League final. Thursday, we worked out who would be playing who in the Europa League final as well, and it's not going to be Arsenal. Any big surprise there?
No, it isn't. After the 1-1 draw at the Emirates, I think we all felt that given Atletico Madrid's home record, Tom, given the fact the way Atletico set up, given how organised they are defensively, I always felt it would be a tough ask for Arsenal. And in fairness, they had good little spells the other night without really troubling Jan Oblak. Black. I guess the chance from Henrik Mkhitaryan, the volley, which was a half chance really. It became a chance because of the technique of Mkhitaryan that flew just over the crossbar. But Atletico Madrid do what they do. They grind. I think I liking them. They are the Spanish equivalent of a Chelsea. They're not that pretty to watch, but they're effective. And Diego Costa, as he has done so often, if Didier Drogba was the scourge of Arsenal 10 years ago, Diego Costa has become the scourge of them over the last 5 years or so. Poor from Hector Bellerin. His position needs to be questioned, but he got the goal. Atletico Madrid into that final. The game of the night, though, was the other semi-final. I don't know if you watched it, but Marseille were leading.
My man Dimi Payet was there, wasn't he?
He was, and it was he that set up what it proved to be the goal that took Marseille through. They were leading 2-0. Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg from Austria, this is. They made it 2-2 on aggregate, two goals in the second half. It went to extra time, and it was an awful decision. A player took a shot, a Marseille player on the edge of the box. It hit his own player and went out for what should have been a goal kick. The referee and the linesman gave a corner. From the resulting corner, a goal was scored. And Marco Rose, who's done an unbelievable job, I think, here's a stat for you, I think that's just their sixth defeat in 57 games this season for Red Bull Salzburg. He was incandescent. He came onto the pitch at full time. He was remonstrating with the referee. He'll be in a lot of trouble, but you can understand the frustration. They've done so well to get themselves back into the tie, but it will be Atletico Madrid against Marseille, and it's in Lyon as well, so it'll be a home support for Marseille over in France.
Boys, I like to do a good job of educating you on what things happening back in my neck of the woods, especially in the sports scene. You're going to have to tell me this one. Atletico Madrid's going to be without their manager, Simeone, for the final. He's banned for the final. I think if you take a coach out of the game, how are you still going to have the same effectiveness on the field?
I don't know if you correct me on that. I don't know if he can still go to the game.
He'll
he just
be
can't
the game.
Be in
he'll
the dugout.
He'll be up in this
like
stands.
He was for the semi-final.
Prowling.
Touchline ban.
So
Prowling.
He'll delegate all this to his assistant coach.
So the usual, as we see in football so often, don't we, that they'll be mic'd up, and I'm sure there'll be an awful lot of running out of his seat upstairs to get a signal and passing messages down to German Burgos, the former Argentine keeper, former teammate of Diego Simeone. He's the number two. He's prowling the touchline. He'll be barking out orders. So, yeah. Yes, they'll have a line of communication, but you're right, he will have to be in the stands for the final. It didn't hinder them in that semi-final against Arsenal, and in all honesty, as good a job as Rudy Garcia has done with Marseille, I think Atletico will start as favourites, and I think they'll go on and win the Europa League.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the assistant coach that he's barking orders to is a former member of a heavy metal band?
Of a heavy metal band, yes. German Burgos, it is fair to say, has a colourful and checkered past. Does German Burgos. There'll be many maybe listening tonight that remember him. I remember him from his days at Real Mallorca, and he was an odd little chap with German Burgos, but a fine goalkeeper, a little eccentric, shall we say, and he's moved into management. He is the good cop to Diego Simeone's bad cop, and both of those guys have had unbelievable success.
Talking of goalkeepers, and you are a man of that art as well, explain to me the Bayern goalkeeper's decision.
Well, I honestly don't know, Tom. I've had a couple of howlers in my time as well. Nothing as bad as that. The pass back, Ulrich is the man in goals for Bayern Munich. They're leading 2-1 at the... No, it's 1-1 at the time.
It was a bad pass back, I'll give him that.
It was 1-1. That's terrible. It's a shocking back pass, but just take a touch and then clear it. But he's caught in two minds, and I think, honestly, Tom, I do wonder if he's panicked and thought, wait, who's passed this back to me? Can I pick this up here? He goes, then his brain says, no, you can't pick it up, leaves it, and Karim Benzema, I can't believe his luck, takes the ball, strokes it into the empty net, and of course Real Boutique.
It's weird, wasn't it? Because there's the flapping on, and then the sort of leg went after, as a little bit of an afterthought, the leg went, and then, no, done.
And bless him, the picture went viral afterwards, so the Bayern Munich players have left the pitch at full time. And he was disconsolate. He was just sat inside his penalty box for a good half hour after the full-time whistle. No one around him. The staff's all left him. And it was just isolation for a goalkeeper making a mistake. Manuel Neuer's been injured most of the season. Ulrich stepped up. He's had a good season, but in those clutch moments, you need a performance. You don't make the errors. Unfortunately, he does.
Your thoughts, please, on that and other stories. How do you get them to us? You text them to us now on 4001. Equally, you can have your say on Twitter at Dubai Eye Sport, or come on down here to Barasti. We're broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. Beautiful evening, nice conditions. So come on down and watch your live sport down here.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
All right, plenty of football to talk about, plenty of football on at the moment. Two games underway over in the United Kingdom, one in Scotland, one in England, and one in Spain at the moment. Chris McCarty's got your goal updates.
Yeah, I'll keep you... well, let's start at the Bet365. It is Stoke against Crystal Palace. We've already set the stall out on this one. We know Stoke probably need the 3 points if they are to have any chance of staying in this division. They've started pretty brightly, as you'd expect. A beautiful day down in Stoke, over in the UK. And 7 minutes on the clock, though, it does remain Stoke 0, Crystal Palace 0. Scotland today, of course, and we will touch on it a little later on, I'm sure, Stephen Gerrard appointed as Glasgow Rangers boss yesterday. That one I still can't quite get my head around, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. There is a game, it's an absolute belter at Dens Park. It's a huge match, this, in Scotland. It's Dundee against Hamilton Academical, and I can tell you, it's Dundee 0, Hamilton 0.
Nice ground.
Dens Park, it's, let's just say, atmospheric. It's got a nice quirky nature to it. Nice ground, no. No.
At least he speaks his mind. That's what he's there for, isn't it? We were going to be talking a lot of sport a little later on. We're also going to be talking golf as well, because plenty of golfing events taking place around the world. Ross Chris, you're looking stateside.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wells Fargo. This is played at beautiful Quail Hollow Club out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Gem City. And this is a big tournament with a nice purse, guys, of over $7.5 million. All alone, after two rounds of play, it's Peter Malenti at 7 under. He's chased, though, by a big name, Jason Day, Aaron Wise at 6 under. Also, Charles Schwartzer's at 5 under. Paul Casey from your neck of the woods, Tom, at 5 under. Emilio Grigliano at 3 under. And Sam Burns at 3 under. Two guys who made the cut, who you expect to be in contention, is, of course, Mr. Tiger Woods and Mr. Rory McIlroy. Tiger just made the cut. He had to birdie the final hole of the second round. And he's blaming a lot of his play on the slow greens.
I'm on a hot streak right now. I made the last putt. So, no, I've struggled. I've struggled with the greens being as slow as they are. And today I'm trying to make sure I hit the putts harder, and I was kept pulling them. And my feels aren't matching up with the speed of these greens, and I got to do some more work. I've had ample time to make the adjustments to hit the putts, hit them that much harder, and I'm just struggling hitting them that hard.
How satisfying, though, to make the cut, play the weekend at Quail Hollow Club?
Yeah, I mean, I've hit it good enough to be right up next to the lead. If I just putt normal, I'm right there. I'm hitting it fine, and I just need to make some putts, and hopefully this weekend I'll hit it the way I've been hitting it and get a hot putter on the weekend. You never know.
Best of luck on the weekend.
Thank you. You know, it normally happens on slower greens for me. You know, it's I've always putted faster greens well, and the slower greens I've always kind of struggled. And this is no different. As I said earlier, I've had ample time to make the adjustment. I just haven't. And I'm struggling with putting that much hit in my stroke to hit it that much harder. And I just got to be able to do it.
Well, boys, it's good to see Tiger out there. Good to see him taking questions post-match, post-second round. Barely makes the cut out there. 2 over, but it's good for golf. He's there for the third round. He's there for the weekend. The cameras will be there. I'm sure tournament directors are happy that he made that birdie putt to get to 2 over. So we'll see where he goes today. Actually, I'm very lucky because most of the time, guys, when sports are being played back home, we have to go off air, and I have to watch it at 3 a.m., but they've already started teeing off for this. So we're going to be seeing Tiger. We'll be chasing him throughout the next, 2.5 hours that we're on air here. So I'll give you up to date on how he is doing. One man that's also tied with Tiger is Mr. Rory McIlroy. Now, guys, if you remember, think back to the Masters when basically Rory McIlroy had the green jacket in his grasp, and he just couldn't close it. Well, he kind of went into a little funk after that, and Rory describes his time post-Masters up until now.
How long did the Masters Sunday sit with you?
Probably about a week. I went back home and sort of decompressed, binge-watched a couple of shows, read a couple of books. Drank a few bottles of wine. No, I don't mean like that. That sounds really bad. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, I just, I, you know, I, it got to the point where Erica had to drag me out of the house, say, right, we're going to go do something. I said, okay, yeah, let's. And then once I got back into my sort of routine, I was fine. I was disappointed because I just didn't give a good account of myself on that last day. And I felt it. I got lucky on Saturday. That 65 was as good as I could have played. You know, I got lucky. I chipped in. There was a couple of balls that hit trees and came back onto the fairway. Hit it up in the azaleas. I got away with it. You know, so I was sort of, my game wasn't quite, I was sort of holding it together. The Masters has now become the biggest golf tournament in the world, and I'm comfortable saying that. I don't care about the US Open or the Open Championship, or it is the biggest golf tournament in the world. The most amount of eyeballs, the most amount of hype, the most everything is at Augusta. So, you know, it's the, for me, it's the most special tournament that we play, and, you know, it's the one that everyone desperately wants to win. But even if I was going for my first major, and, you know, it's tough. It's tough to win.
Chris McCarty, Tom Urquhart, agree, disagree? Masters, greatest tournament in the world right now, the biggest one?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, working daily with Robbie Greenfield, he has told me that, and on numerous occasions. Growing up, it was the British Open. The Open Championship was always the one for me, the claret jug. But when you get older and you speak to golfing royalty, the Gary Players of this world, and you listen to them, there is a reason that Augusta stands above all else. I know, Ross, your grandfather, I believe, has been a caddy and has been there, and I think you yourself have been there. It's the nostalgia that surrounds it. It's the fact you go back to the same course every year. So, yeah, I think, absolutely, I think it is. And listening to Rory there, got to give a lot of credit to him. He's not hiding. He's telling it as it is.
Didn't mince his words, did he?
Didn't do that at all. And there may be some psychologists out there that say, listen, you've got to downplay your chances. He's saying he really wants to win it. He did play miserably. It took him a week, and it's really refreshing. He could have easily mealy-mouthed that. He's not done that. He's come out. He said it as it is. He said it's taken him a while to get over it, and he'll be back next year to try and complete the slam. And if he can do it, what an achievement it would be. And we wish him well in him going forward from here.
Is the Masters the biggest? No. I think the Golf Sixes is. The what, people are asking? Let me explain to you. Golf Sixes.
All the action at Centurion Club. Fantastic introduction last year to the Golf Sixes, and in terms of the groups, you can look forward to seeing in action. And fantastic that some of the stars in the women's game will also be teeing it up next week. Group A features Denmark, Thailand, United States and the European women. Fabulous to see the European captains Ryder Cup and Solheim respectively, Bjorn and Katrina Matthew. When you look at Group C, we know that Alex Levy's in wonderful form right now. Scott Jamieson and Richie Ramsey for the Scots. And Eddie Pepple and Matt Wallace. Matt Wallace had a good week in China. And Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull in action for England women. Charlie Hull in action, of course, this week on the LPGA Tour. So all that coming next week on the European Tour.
What is the Golf Sixes? I mean, is this one of these new... Is it trying to rebrand golf, is it?
Yes, it's what it is. It's one of these, I've got to be careful. It's one of these ideas that Keith Pelley, the European Tour Chief Executive, is looking to just inject a little bit new impetus, a little bit, attract a new fandom, that they're trying different things. And whilst I applaud it, we've talked about it on the show, is Golf Sixes really the way forward for it? I'm not convinced it is, Tom. It's a little bit similar to the ECB and their 100-ball tournaments. It's almost like the horse has bolted and they're trying to come up with new ways in which to try and, I guess, garner some column inches and try and garner some interest. The Golf Sixes, I don't foresee being around for long term. I still think that golden bullet of an idea is still out there. It's in the ether and that will come up with golf. But the Golf Sixes is something that ill-conceived, ill-advised, and I'm not quite sure if it's
men's
got a
tours,
future.
Women's tours coming together, playing, celebrity, mixing it up, celebrities, bit of music on the course as well.
Yeah, I'd take a ticket to it. I mean, if it came to town, I'd go and watch it for
you
sure.
You would? 100%.
I think just being around that type of environment seems like a fun time. I'll tell you something. This is a complete different sport, but something that I watched last week for the first time ever that's kind of a hybrid idea of this was mixed men and women relay teams of the 4x100.
I love that.
And it was phenomenal.
I do like that.
It was absolutely phenomenal. And you get to pick, they got to pick who gets to go first. So men, women, and a girl had the final leg for Kenya, and she was going against two men, and they were catching her. And the last 100 meters, she sprinted and won it. So, yeah, I digress a little bit. But so Golf 6 is going for this mixed men-woman tournament style. I kind of like it.
I like the mixed, undoubtedly, and I think the Olympics and golf missed a trick at the Olympics, and we've talked about it as well, whereby instead of making it a normal event, partner up. Have a Henrik Stenson with a Swedish golfer. Have an American with an American male player with an American female player. And I think that would have done an awful lot more to inject, the watching world, if you will, and to get people interested in golf from a female perspective. I think that would have been the way forward. So I do think they missed a trick there. The Golf Sixes, and I think I'm with you, Ross. I would like to see the women being, I guess, given the opportunity to play with the men a lot more. It's just the Golf Sixes. It's just watering it down to six holes, I'm just not convinced.
One thing I do quite like about the Golf Sixes, there's not a huge amount I like about it, because...
You don't like change?
I do like change. But I do like the shot clock. I think that's quite a good initiative.
Yeah, to get people to get a
Because I think golf just can take far too long.
It can. Yeah, 5 hours in some cases. I know at the Masters it was over 5 hours that Patrick Reed was going around there, and that's... It's not conducive to people at home sat watching it, is it?
Especially for following Sergio around the course. Goodness gracious. I think he's actually, throughout the course of his career, he's had two times the officials had to come up to him and say, you need to speed this thing up. But yeah, you got to figure out a way to make golf cooler for a younger crowd. You also have to figure out a way to integrate women's golf into the masses. And this is a great way to do it. So it's their second year. We'll see where they go from here, and hopefully they can keep the ball rolling.
I know that's been a grumble, hasn't it, in terms of time spent on the course and the time playing your shots and things like that. It's been a grumble by a number of players on tour who can be quite outspoken about it. I think, and I might be wrong here, but I think when they brought this in last year, there was a 40-second shot clock that you ran. The players then requested for that to be brought down to 30 seconds because they liked it so much. They liked the idea. So
We've seen it in snooker as well, haven't we? The shot clock in some snooker events as well, and it's just to speed things up. It's just so that we, the consumer, we, the I guess, customer, sitting on our television screens or at these venues, it just makes it that little bit more entertaining. We don't, and listen, I appreciate tactics and having your say and picking the right club is all part and parcel of golf, but we don't want to be sat there for 5 minutes while they deliberate whether it's a 7-iron or a 6-iron.
We have the same debate going on back in my country right now about the game of baseball. Yeah. A lot of people are getting really upset with the longevity of the game, so they are actually speeding up the game this year. They're taking some big measures out to make pitchers get to the mound, make batters get into the blocks a lot quicker, and the game is going a little bit quicker, but all these sports, baseball, cricket, golf, all these sports that have kind of been from the old age of hundreds of years ago have not quite morphed into our new age in 2018, and they need to do a better job of doing it, not just on the play, but through social media, through marketing, through integrating the women, So it's, this is the way forward, not just in this sport, but in many other sports.
Your thoughts, please, do text them through to us on 4001 or drop us a tweet, if you like, at Dubai iSport. We'll take a short break, but with more sports straight after that.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Live indeed. Live with you from Barasti, where the game is always on. Early in the Premier League, underway as we speak. 23 minutes in. Chris McCarty.
Not much to tell you about, in all honesty, Tom. It's a little bit of a chess match. If Liverpool and Roma and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich in midweek were not chess matches and they were free-flowing, this is anything but, because, as you would imagine, it is a tense afternoon over at the Bet365. Stoke are, they're pushing, they're trying to, they're trying to score, first and foremost, the very obvious, but they're trying to keep things tight as well. They are mindful that Crystal Palace, with Zaha, with Townsend, have got pace and abundance. They don't want to get caught on the counter-attack. And one or two time, Patrick Van Aert as well, down that left-hand side for Crystal Palace, has been raiding down there and has got one or two good positions. But as things stand, 23 minutes on the clock, and what is a beautiful day over there in Stoke, the sun is shining. It is Stoke 0, Crystal Palace 0.
A bit of rugby on for you at the moment as well. Super Rugby, that is. One game live as we speak. Waratahs taking on the Blues over in Super Rugby. Had a result from earlier on. Hurricanes beat the Lions. Good game, that one, down in New Zealand. But Tars taking on the Blues at the moment, and it's the Blues who lead the Tars by 18 points to 14. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you, as we will all the activity in the world of cricket. Indian Premier League underway. Pakistan are over in the United Kingdom. They're playing a warm-up game against Northants at the moment. And a number of the big guns of English cricket are in action for their counties, their respective counties, as the county championship gets underway. And they try to get some match time under their belts before the Pakistan series starts in earnest. One man who will be heading on over to the United Kingdom is Virat Kohli. And this is a brilliant story that I saw this morning. That
it was trending.
Surrey. The word Surrey. Yeah. The county, which is Surrey. Surrey is a county in the United Kingdom in around London. Is trending in India last night.
Fantastic story, this. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Actually, Tom, you're a man that follows county championship cricket a lot more than I do, in fairness. And that is a stellar signing. OK, he's only going to be there for a month. He's building up to India taking on England in this test series this summer. But that will get the masses in. That'll get fans in through the doors.
God, yeah. And that's one of the few counties that could afford him. So they've got the money. They've got a very... been regarded as one of the wealthiest counties in the United Kingdom. They've got the budget to be able to pull him in. But it is a shrewd move. It's a very shrewd move in terms of selling tickets.
Yes.
And it's a very shrewd move in terms of the brand for Surrey cricket as well. Let's just play you some thoughts from Paul Farbrace, though, because he's been asked about it. Paul Farbrace is the assistant head coach for the England cricket team. He's got split opinions on this one. He thinks it's great for county cricket. He thinks it's great for Surrey, but it's a disaster for England.
Well, from an English test point of view, it's probably not fantastic that Virat's going to come over, get some practice before the test series. From a county point of view, and something that's unique about county cricket is overseas players playing in county cricket. We've all benefited. We've all played with people who have been fantastic overseas players. What a great signing for Surrey. It is fantastic, isn't it?
Have you pulled that one off?
Well, it was only one club that was going to manage it, wasn't there, let's be honest. I don't know. I know that the Virat Kohli had been very, very keen to come over to England. Obviously, his record in test matches everywhere but England is excellent. I think he averages in the teens in test matches over here. So he wanted desperately to do something about that. He's been talking about a move to county cricket since the end of India's series over there in South Africa. And it was a case of, number one, I think, getting the BCCI to approve it, and number two, finding a club that was going to accommodate him. Sorry, I've done that. And it's absolutely huge news. I mean, I'm looking at some of the places he's going to play. Beckenham, he's going to play against Kent at Beckenham in a 50-over game. That is a huge shot in the arm for festival cricket there. Other festivals at Guildford for Surrey, that will be absolutely bouncing. Scarborough, county championship match up there against Yorkshire. They'll be clinging from the rafters there and selling out fish and chips. It's just a massive shot in the arm for county cricket.
I'm not sure fish and chips was top of his list.
He's nothing but the best food and training, etc. But listen, Surrey County Cricket Club managed to sell out at the Help for Heroes game on the strength of MS Dhoni playing in it. This was two or three years ago now. 25,000 people turned up for that, a beer match, essentially. Hopefully they will do a similar thing for everywhere that Virat Kohli goes.
And someone like Mark Stoneman. I mean, for him just to be surrounded by that influence.
Any aspiring England cricketer or current England cricketer that has the chance to share that dressing room with Virat Kohli for those few weeks, and you can guarantee that we play some other counties who'll be wanting to pick his brains, chat to him. That's why it's so good. I mean, you know, I've said many times, players learn from players. For Surrey to pull this off, for their young players coming through, to have him in their changing room, absolutely magnificent. And fair play to Alex Stewart for pulling it off, because it is great for those players to be able to play with him.
Alex Stewart, who of course wintered here in the UAE along with his Surrey team. They came here for pre-season as well. So they pulled off a bit of a coup there. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? From a commercial point of view, why not?
Absolutely. Just listening to that, I was chuckling to myself. It makes complete and utter sense. And Virat Kohli will get his eye in. Get comfortable with the England conditions, and poor old Paul Farbrace and Trevor Bayliss and the England boys, because they're right. You don't want Virat Kohli being comfortable in England conditions if you're an England fan, but it's more than that. Let's look at the bigger picture. The fact that some young English talents are going to be rubbing shoulders with Virat Kohli over a month, picking his brains, is fantastic, Tom. And I'm looking forward to it. And what it does do, puts County Championship on the map a little bit. And as you say earlier, it's been trending. Surrey has been trending in India. Great for them moving forward as well. And you might just see the floodgates open a little bit with more Indian players heading on over there.
Guildford coming out and saying that they're adding more seats to their stadium for their game against Kohli.
Brilliant.
Let's go to the IPL just before we go to the news at 4 o'clock, because there is one
game. Game 651, is it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is exactly that one. We've got 652 and 653 later on this afternoon as well. Chennai Super Kings taking on the Royal Challengers Bangalore as we speak. We're into the final over of the RCB innings. They're 123 for 8. They lost a sleuth of wickets in the early but as part of the innings. Only Par Patel, the man who sort of led from the front, he was caught and bowled by Jadeja, scored 53 runs from 41 balls. But then 5, 8, 1, 7, 8 and 1 for McCullum, Kohli, De Villiers, Singh, to Grandhome and Ashwin. It's only down to Tim Southee, the Kiwi, who's holding things up at the bottom end. He's 33 not out from 21 balls. As I said, they're into the final over. RCB taking on Chennai Super Kings. They're 123 for 8. They've got six more balls to post a total. When we come back, we're into the second hour of the show and getting more of your thoughts. We're live from Brasti, though. Do come on down. Big screen is up and running. And we're watching the live pictures of the early kickoff in the Premier League. It's an absolute picture over in the United Kingdom. Beautiful weather over there and beautiful weather down here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.